There you go. I think being a dad can be maybe the toughest and yet most rewarding role that a man can fulfill. Sadly, in our society, the role of a father or dad has been under attack for many years. So many times dads are just not portrayed well in the media, so those times when it's like, yes, he's a good dad, I kind of latch onto those and think, yay. Not that we always get it right. We mess up, don't we, dads? Sometimes we have to learn to overcome that initial reaction and think about things a little bit, but we get there. And so we're not always the ignorant, self-centered, mean, or overbearing people that often you see dads in the portrayed. We know none of us get it right, but it's amazing to me the positive contribution that a dad provides in a society. And not to take anything away from mom. This is always tough because, you know, Mother's Day, it's like we talk about how wonderful moms are. You know, they bring the dandelion in. Oh, that's whatever, let's put it in a glass. And the dad's going, it's a stupid weed, throw it away, kid. You know, so, you know, as Brittany mentioned, there's spenders and there's savers. So sometimes we need that kind of a balance. And if you haven't figured out yet, sorry, it just is the way it is. With a boy, anything that's long, and whether it's a stick or the roll of the wrapping paper, what does it become? It's a gun or a sword, right? You know, that's just boy. And, you know, I think we all grew up that way as guys. But children need a father figure. Whether it's a biological father, and here's a thing that society is learning, and part of this discussion in all that they're dealing with, and abortion issue and violence and all this, it's amazing. Even the natural world, the people that don't believe in God, they look at the effect, the influence that a father has on children, and really on society. They've done research and they've shown that having this father figure, again, whether it's the biological father or whoever is filling that father role in a child's life, that's a positive role model. And they've done studies and they found that it positively influences a child's academic and social development. They do better in school. They tend to be better. They do better in life. Children who bond with their fathers or father figures from an early age are better problem solvers, have sharper cognitive skills, and are better performers in school. Whereas boys without a positive male role model are more likely to end up in a life of crime, in jail, having addiction, or participating in risk-taking behavior. That's what they found. Which, by the way, let me do a little plug for YFC here, especially not only for us here, but if you're watching online. For a lot of our teens, Tom and Roxanne are kind of that second mom and dad for a lot of our teens. And I appreciate every week they're pouring their hearts in and their lives. I mean, they're not. It's not just a job. They're living that. But as you know, every parent needs help, right? So if God would lay it on your heart, give them a call, talk to them, see ways that maybe you can help out up at the teen center and be a positive role model and influence in the lives of teens in our community. So just a little plug there for YFC, because I love what they do, and I love to see the difference they make in so many kids' lives. So, well, that's an awesome, it is an awesome responsibility to be a father. And one of the things that's amazing is, and we've worked with Royal Family Kids Camps, which are camps that are provided free of charge for foster children. I know they have a chapter over in Sioux Center. We were involved in many years with our church in Springfield, helping do that. But what we discover on the spiritual side of things is for most people, their image of God, when you talk about God the Father or our Heavenly Father, what they see in God is what they tend to see in their earthly father. And if they have a loving, caring, positive relationship with their father, even though at times, you know, you still do this occasionally, I think that's part of the growing process in some ways. It's frustrating, it's hard when you're the parent to, yeah, but it's there. What we think of God so often is a reflection of what we think of our own father. And that's why a lot of these kids, you know, especially working with a lot of these foster kids, when you talk about, well, God is your heavenly father, and they said, well, if God's like my dad, I don't want anything to do with him. And having to help them come to see our heavenly father, thankfully, we're so sad that you didn't have that good role model. And it's hard, and for a lot of them, they have to work very hard to get past that. So today, I want to talk to you about three P's of being a dad. And I could not resist. Three P's. Get it? Okay, thank you, Tom. Tom gets it. He's just shaking his head like he did it again. Anyway, but you'll remember that, won't you? Three P's of being a dad. First is preparation. And these kind of blend together in some ways, but we'll try and focus on these. One of the main things a father should do is to prepare children for life by teaching them. This not only involves what we say to them, but what we do. And this is true for moms too, but as a parent, you know, what you say is a very powerful example. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." I think that's part of the struggle we see. I talk with those who are in education and those that work with kids, and one of the things that keeps coming up is children today are not being trained or brought up learning how to respect others or respect other people's property. And that's causing a lot of problems. And a lot of it is unfortunately, as parents, I'm not throwing the blame game here, it's just reality. That doesn't come naturally. That's something we have to teach people. And if your children see you showing respect, see how you interact with others, that's how they're going to take their cue. That's how they're going to learn. And then as you supplement that with, well, especially as you go to the scriptures, you know, that we're to respect authority and to understand that God does that for our good. You know, how many of you thought that you had a mean boss and that everything, and then all of a sudden you became the boss and found out life was not, you know, you thought boss was the cat's meow, that, boy, if I was just the boss, all of a sudden you found your boss has a boss. Whoa, that was enlightening. I did not realize what the boss, one of my favorite episodes of the Flintstones. Go back and watch it. It's probably out on YouTube somewhere. Where Fred gets to be the boss, finds out it's not all he thought it was going to be. Anyway, discipline, that training, that instruction. Too often we think of discipline as punishment, but discipline really is more about direction and correction. Children need to learn things early on, like the reality of consequences to actions, both positive and negative. Doesn't mean that we're harsh with them, but they need to understand their choices, their actions have consequences. That's why I think there's a lot of older people floating around in our society right now that are never truly mature or not what I would call an adult. Biologically they are, but emotionally and mentally and socially, they're not, because they haven't learned. They think they can do whatever they want, and then they're all upset because negative consequences came there. Well, it's not my fault. Well, you made the choices. But when you're an adult, you understand choices have consequences, so I will deal with those consequences. That's what makes us mature. That's what I call an adult. You know, there's a reason why we read kids' stories. Not only, I mean, that's probably one of my favorite things as a grandparent, is sitting down and reading the books. Though I must admit, when you read the same book about six times in a row, you're kind of thinking, isn't there another book? That's the way kids are. But we tell them stories. How many remember growing up hearing the story of the grasshopper and the ant? Do you hear that story? What does that tell us? If you're lazy, you won't have things when you need them, but if you're diligent and you work hard, as when you need things, your resources will be there. It's more than just a fun story. That's how we teach and we instruct them. We help prepare them. And as far as that goes, kids need boundaries. They need rules. Honestly, sometimes we think of, they're going to push to see, one, is that really a boundary? When they find out, yes, this is a boundary, you know, mom and dad said that, you know, I don't know, let's, you know, you have to be home by 8 o'clock and you show up at 8:30, guess what? Next time, no, you can't go to your friends because you disobeyed the rules. You went past the boundaries. And, you know, oh, well, you're just so mean and you don't care. You know, we know all that stuff happens, right? But the truth is, boundaries, those rules, give children a sense of safety and security. They know, and probably the toughest part about being a parent is being consistent and being thoughtful in making and enforcing rules. That's just one of the tough parts about being a parent. I will say this, that I know some of the best parents I've ever seen in action. There are consequences, but then they also find ways to maybe, well, okay, I see that you really are sorry for what you did and you've been trying really hard. So instead of maybe, you know, for example, being grounded for a week, you're only grounded for 3 days or something like that. Give them a chance to, in a sense, earn back some of those things, because that's also a lesson for them to learn. I will admit, there were times when our kids were still in the house that they would come and ask something, and my first thought was just to say no. And I kind of had to learn. We're all learning. I'm still learning. As a grandparent, I'm still learning. I really had to kind of stop. Why is my first inclination no? It wasn't that I thought it was going to be bad for them, what they wanted to do. What I figured out was, so often my initial reaction of no was, well, if I tell them yes, then I've got to drive them there, or I've got to do something. It inconveniences me. And so I had to stop and really kind of take that step back of, is there really a reason why I should say no, or am I just being lazy? That's sometimes tough as a parent. But, you know, it's that consistency. Because if all of a sudden, if every time they do something, the rules change. You ever played a game with somebody that's constantly changing the rules? I get accused of that at times, but I really don't. You just didn't want to hear all the rules, and now the situation come up, and oh yeah, and by the way, the rules say, so that's not my fault. But you know what I'm saying. You know, you when all of a sudden, as a child, the parent, the boundaries keep moving. It gets very frustrating. And mom and dad, just a hint. I learned this as a kid. Hey, Dad, can I go over to Mark's house? Well, I don't care if Mom doesn't care. Hey, Mom, can I go to Mark's house? Well, I don't care if your dad doesn't care. Hey, Dad, Mom doesn't care if you don't care if I go to Mark's. Well, if your mom doesn't care, I don't care. And it's like, just give me an answer. So finally I thought, well, if he doesn't care, she doesn't care, I care, I'm going. not that it's mom and dad, and kids, don't play mom and dad against each other, okay? That'll get you in more trouble faster than about anything. To find out, oh, well, I told them they could do that. Well, I already told them they couldn't. Ooh, guess what? That's not a good place to be if you're a kid. That's part of that preparation. Because if we don't prepare them, they're going to get out in this world and it's going to be hard for them. You know, is it terrible to say, but I have what I call my crying CD. It has a lot of songs. A lot of them are country songs or Western songs. It's not country and Western, but I know a song that changed somebody's life that's very close to me, and it's called The Cat's in the Cradle. How many of you are familiar with that song? Older one. It's an older song. Google it or YouTube it or something if you're not familiar with it. Just bring a hanky with you if you listen. You know the storyline, and that's so true. The dad's so busy doing stuff, and the kid just wants to hang out. And then finally, as life begins to slow down, dad's ready to do things with the kid, but guess what? The kid's too busy now. And then finally, the kid's out of the house, hey, we should get together. Well, I wish I had the time. There's only one childhood. And I know it's hard. Life is so busy. But as a parent, please, please, please find ways to make time. I know couples that, and not just with your kids, but if you're married, with your spouse. I know people that purposely, unless there's a true emergency, they just block it off on their calendars. They agree together. This is date night. And there better be an earthquake, a flood, or kid puking their guts out or something. This is date night. And they guard that as jealously as they can. Do that same thing with your kids. Make sure, because the truth is, people, well, you should have quality time, you should have quantity time. You should have both. Because the greatest gift really we give our kids is that spending time with them, because that's where they learn. That's where they learn. I still remember going out to Pennsylvania for one of Ryan's plays, and afterwards we went out with his friends from college. And as we're getting out of the car to go into Applebee's, one of the girls he knew there looks at Ryan and says, "Now I know why you talk the way you talk. You sound just like your dad." There's a part of me that kind of felt good, and I'm going, boy, I hope that's a good thing. Good, bad, or ugly, that's how we learn. And and that direction, that training, correction. Correction should not, again, be punishment, but it should be a training. One of the things that I think is hard for a parent... There's been a few times I've wanted to spank some parents, can I be honest? I better be honest. I'm always trying to be honest. But, in a grocery line or something, and the parent, if you don't quit that, I'm going to spank you. If you don't quit, I'm thinking, no, I want to spank you. The kid knows you're never going to do anything. They know that your no doesn't mean no. They know if they whine and complain and throw a fit long enough, they're going to get what they want. Guess what? You're just reinforcing that behavior. But it's embarrassing. Well, ask Kelly about embarrassment. She picked up Ryan one time. Sorry, son, I guess I owe you $5. I'm using you in a sermon. But I forget, he wasn't that old, 4, 5, 6, 7, somewhere. He wasn't listening in the grocery store. And she scoops him. She had told him, she says, "If you don't quit it, I'm going to take you out to the car and spank you." I know the spanking thing, it wasn't like beating him real, but it was an appropriate punishment. Not done in anger or anything. But she scoops him up, and we're at the checkout line, and starts walking away with him, and he screams, "Don't kill me, Mom! Don't kill me!" Now, that's kind of embarrassing, but you know what? Did he ever do that again? No. Nobody said parenting was easy. I mean, come on. That cute little baby, we're having a little baby. Well, did you not realize you aren't sleeping for the next 3 years? Somebody tell you these things have a mind of their own? That doesn't come with the, we're having a baby. Welcome to parenthood. But all this is part of that. You know, again, that correction is an expression of love. Proverbs 3:12. It's interesting, the Lord says this, for the Lord corrects those he loves just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Isn't it interesting? God says he treats us just like an earthly father corrects and trains his children that he delights in parents. And how many parents, I heard this, our children heard this, well, my friend's dad lets him do it. Well, I'm not your friend's dad. If he was my son, he wouldn't get to do it either. So guess what? You don't get to do it because I don't think that's what's best for you. You don't love me. Son, if I didn't love you, I would just let you do whatever you wanted to. I wouldn't care. But I love you enough that I want what's best for you. It's hard to see that as a kid, but, you know, probably you've heard that. And maybe a grandparent in me, I was watching a new Disney show, the Ms. Marvel. Not that I'm recommending it or anything, but I was kind of curious. I'm a comic book fan. It's about a Kamala, who's a 16-year-old girl who's an avid fan of Captain Marvel, if you know the Marvel Universe. And she wants to go to the first Avengers convention in her area. And she's all excited about it, has a friend going with her, but her parents are very, very conservative, especially her mom. And so she asks if she can go. And, of course, the first reaction of the parents, no, you can't go there. You're going to have people doing all kinds of weird stuff. That's not a good place for you. We don't know. But then a little later, mom comes up to her room and says, your dad and I have talked about it, and we're going to let you go. But, she goes, I made this costume for you. Of course, the girl's already got her own Ms. Marvel costume made up. But mom comes in with a Hulk costume she's made. And then her dad jumps into the room, dressed as the Hulk, got his face painted green, you know, he's all painted green and everything, and doing the, you know, the Hulk does. And you can go, but you have to go with your father. And you can go for 2 hours. He's going to be big Hulk, you're going to be little Hulk. And of course, 16-year-old girl, you can imagine the reaction. And I understand where she's coming from, but she goes, I can't do that. That would be so embarrassing. And the camera on the dad. And he's just deflated. Again, I understand the 16-year-old girl's feelings there. But as a parent, I'm thinking, honey, you don't realize mom and dad have made a huge step here. And all you can think about is you right now. But just that there. So kids, be mindful. And as parents, be mindful. Sometimes it's hard. It's not an easy thing. But hopefully, always, as we correct, as we love, that kids, mom and dad are doing the best they know how for what they think is best for you. Because they want you to grow up to be happy, healthy, good person. You know, Proverbs 4:1 says this, my children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment. That's part of this preparation, is helping our kids understand, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing. This will be good for me, this won't be so good for me. Hope, you know, kids, whether you like it or not, mom and dad are trying to help you learn some good lessons in life without having to go through the school of hard knocks yourself. And I think one of the hardest things as a parent is knowing which things to let your kids fail at. What can they fail at? Yeah, they might have a scraped knee. Oh, they may feel a little bad for a while, but somewhere they need to learn that not everything in life is going to go their way. Not everything they try is going to succeed. As much as we would love for that to happen for our kids, the reality is that's going to happen. And we have to give them opportunities to fail where, you know, it's like, okay, should I let them play out in the road in traffic? Obviously, nope, that's not a good place to let your child try and fail. But knowing those times is an amazing thing. So preparation. The second thing is pride. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25 says this, "The father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy." Now, normally we think of pride as a negative thing, but there are places in Scripture where we can find kind of the positive pride, a joy that comes when others make choices that reflect well on God's glory and honor. And as parents, and especially as fathers, our kids need to know that we are proud of them for who they are and affirm them when they make good choices. Cassie is a good one. She keeps reminding me when working with, especially with Royal Family kids, building stuff. Sometimes I help them build benches. You know, we had these crafts. And part of me is thinking, no, they're doing it wrong. Or especially the ones, we had little stools one time that they tried to nail together. And I'm thinking, honey, if you put any weight on this, it's going to collapse and you're going to hurt yourself. And Cassie looked at me and she goes, Dad, it's about progress, not perfection. And I had to take that step back. It wasn't about building a good, sturdy stool at this point. It was about, here's somebody that's probably never had a chance to do this sort of a thing. Let her enjoy it. Rejoice in the progress she's making. Affirm that progress. Affirm that, hey, this is kind of scary, stepping out and doing something you've never done before. You're learning. Good job. That kind of a pride that we can have in others. Again, it's outstanding to read the reports of the impact a father or a male role model has on children. And if, just in case you needed it, three reasons to let your kids know that you're proud of them. One, it's a genuine need. Children long for acceptance and approval of others, especially their parents. God hardwired that into us, that need for praise and affirmation. So wise parents recognize that they get more of what they praise and affirm. When your children do a good job at something or go the extra mile, your recognition and praise of their accomplishments will motivate them to produce more of the same. Sometimes those words, "I'm so proud of you," can make all the difference. Secondly, it motivates healthy development. Children who grow up with a healthy sense of who they are and the confidence that others truly believe in them will be more likely to do well in life. Letting them know you are proud of them can help increase their confidence and motivate them toward healthy growth. Again, be proud of them, just not their accomplishments. You know, sometimes just stepping out, trying something new. Proud of you for doing that, for getting out of your comfort zone, for doing something else. I'm proud that I could see you were thinking of somebody else before yourself. Don't be like the mom that was trying to teach the two boys. She was making pancakes for them, and they were fighting over who got the first pancake. And so she said, "Well, what would Jesus do?" And replied, "Well, they'd let somebody else have the first pancake." And so the one boy looks at his brother and says, "You be Jesus." But there you go. Three, letting them know that we're proud of them reinforces love. When children know that mom and dad are proud of them, they feel loved. Confirm your love by expressing pride in their efforts. And just don't tell them. You know, other people may think, "Oh, you're bragging up your kid." You're right, I'm bragging up my kid. My kid's amazing. Not that yours isn't, but mine is. When we intentionally let know our kids we are proud of them, that reinforces our love to them. again, it's one of those things I've lived long enough now, it's amazing how many times when just having young adults in our lives and hearing stories like the first time I remember there was a gal that something happened and she had a little accident or something and called her parents and they were concerned, but her dad said something and he said, "Hey, you know I love you." She just broke down and wept because here she was, a young woman. She goes, "That's the first time I ever remember hearing my dad say, I love you." Guys, don't do that. Parents, don't do that. Affirm that love. Affirm your pride in who they are. Pride. Good pride. Positive pride. The last one is protection, provision. Psalm 103:13 says this, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." When it comes to father, Often we come, I can't even read my own writing. I made a mess here. Okay, here's my point on that. It's interesting that God, again, compares himself to an earthly father. The Lord is like a father to his children. That way that God works in our lives. And one of the main roles of a father is to protect and provide for his family. And one of the ways a father protects and provides is by helping children develop become a healthy person, both physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. It's interesting that when it talks about Jesus' childhood in Luke chapters 1 and 2, that it closes with this little summary statement in Luke 2:52, where it says, "Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people." He grew emotionally, he grew intellectually, he grew physically, he grew socially, and he grew spiritually. And that's what we want to do as parents and as a father. Fathers, like mothers, are pillars in the development of a child's emotional well-being. Dads are usually the one that lay down the rules and enforce them. Moms do that sometimes too. But fathers provide a feeling of security both physically and emotionally. Studies have shown that when fathers are affectionate and supportive, it greatly affects a child's cognitive and social development and instills an overall sense of well-being and self-confidence. Fathers set the bars for relationships with others. Fathers influence relationships with people as children grow. The way a father treats his child will influence what he or she looks for in other people. The patterns a father sets in relationships with his children will dictate how his children relate with other people. You know, on a very negative note, again, because we've dealt so much with foster kids, but one of the things that they learn is people who become abusive often were abused as children. They learn that pattern. It's not ever a guarantee. People still make choices. But having that positive, affirming role model and how we treat others is going to be a cue for your kids. And daddies and daughters. A father shows his daughter what a good relationship with a man is like. If a father is loving and gentle, his daughter will look for those qualities in men when she's old enough to begin dating. She will relate closely to men of the same character as her father. It's sad, but I don't know whether it's sad, but it's true. So often, there's that old expression, women tend to marry their fathers. Well, that's not in the sense of they marry people who are like their father. I know it's not always true, but I still remember the first time I did something and Kelly looked at me and she goes, "You're just like my dad." I'm going, "No, I'm just a guy. It's a guy thing." But that's not all bad. She had a good dad. Fathers and their sons. Boys model themselves after their father's character. If a father is caring and treats people with respect, his boy will grow up much the same. When a father is absent, young boys look to other male figures for how to behave. And this is where oftentimes, guys, it can be a challenge for us, but I am thankful that I had some very positive male role models in my life. Even after, because I lost my parents at 16. So a lot of my development was done, and truth be told, I'm a lot like my father was, good, bad, or ugly, there it is. Other than Jesus has made a lot of changes in me, helped me be more like my Heavenly Father, I hope. But God also brought male role models into my life that helped me grow up and develop. So I know, again, life is busy, life is crazy, but if you're aware of children that, you know, God bless single moms. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. If there's somebody like that in your life, find ways to be supportive. Invest in the lives of somebody else's kids if your kids are grown. Sometimes be an adoptive grandparent if you're older like me. Find ways to make an investment because it really does make a difference. I know I've been trying to, be a friend to somebody that's a teenager that's been going through a hard time. And I get that text message of, you're one of the few adults I feel that really likes me and cares about me. Somebody I can trust. I mean, kind of made me feel good, but more than anything, kind of broke my heart. This young man did not have many people in his life that he felt was for him, that was proud of him, that really cared about what happened to him. So, being a dad may be the best, toughest job that a man can ever have. And even if you're not a biological father, you can be a positive role model in the lives of others. And let me tell you, it's probably got to be one of the most rewarding. That's why we've got to rely on the Lord for help. Take, you know, what's my Heavenly Father like? That's what I want to be like in the lives of those that God has allowed me to be a part of their lives. Proverbs 12:7 says this, the wicked die and disappear. That's not the part I want to focus on, the last part, but the family of the godly stands firm. Whether you're a mom or a dad, whether you're a male role model or a female role model for someone, it's hard. We need God's strength and God's help to do it. But thankfully, He's there for us. He's going to do that. And as we conclude here, just as you're watching this video, kind of think about what our dads mean to us and what we mean as dads as we watch this video.
I have two beautiful children. One is named Emerson. My daughter is Emerson. She's 7 years old. And then I have Lincoln. Lincoln is my boy. My boy is 4 years old. And they're the blessing of my life.
I have a son named Austin. Austin turned 15 in February. Austin was born with Down syndrome. And 4 years ago, Katie and I started fostering Austin. He was a student in my classroom. And then 2 years ago, Katie and I ended up adopting Austin as our own.
I have three children, Shannon, who is 32, Michael, who is 30, and Sarah, who is 21. And I also have two grandchildren, Ethan, who's 5, and Naomi, who's 3.
What brings me joy about my children is seeing them grow, to see that, or bring me joy to just come home and them to hug me after a long day of work, and see my children wanting to run into my arms and tell me that they love me.
The biggest thing that brings me joy about Austin is his affection. Austin has this unbelievable gift of knowing where somebody's heart is. He'll ask us if he hasn't heard us laugh for a while. He'll say, John, laugh. Katie, laugh. Just because he gets so much joy from us having joy.
I think the greatest joy is watching our children grow. It's been very interesting to see how each one handles things differently. And also grandchildren, the fact that they're always happy to see me, and that, as my grandson said, he will love me forever.
A most common challenge is getting ready for bed. No kid likes to get ready for bed, but Austin, you know, if he's playing with his toys or reading a book, you can say it's time to get ready for bed, and you can hear it in his voice, or you can just see it in his body language that's not what's on his schedule. And sometimes he'll just completely ignore you and just keep doing what he's doing.
Unpredictable things. That's a challenge. It's unpredictable. We're, with me and my wife, we're kind of predictable of what we do to each other, but as the children, they're very unpredictable, and that's a challenge in itself.
I think the hardest thing at stage of life I'm in now is watching them struggle. Grandchildren never cause trouble or challenges, but they do wear me out.
You know, Austin has really brought so much joy to Katie and I. He's done a ton for Katie and I's marriage, really has taught us how to be a team. And just from the gifts that Austin's given Katie and I in just the 2 years he's lived with us, I would give my life for Austin. He may not be my biological son, but I love him as one. I will always consider him one, and I will always treat and act as his father from birth. Even though I will always know I'm not, it will never be a matter to me. It will never be an issue for me. I will do whatever I could to protect and make Austin strive in life.
I think I'd sacrifice, you know, pretty much my life for my children. I think anything. I mean, if I could provide, give them, you know, some kind of shelter or vehicle, or trying to provide them the best education, the best spiritual guidance. I think them are the things that are really critical in their lives.
Because they're a part of me, and God has given them to me and to care for, and he's entrusted us with that. And so as he gave his life for us, I could see how I couldn't do the same for my kids or give them anything that I would have.
Precious Heavenly Father, just the gift that it is to be able to call you that. Thank you for who you are and what you make us to be. Children of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and that as you sent Jesus to this earth, by his sacrifice, we may become your children. We know that he is at your right hand now, preparing a place for us in your home. And we look forward to that day when we get to see you face to face, begin our eternity forever in your presence. Father, until that day comes, we live here on an earth that is full of struggles. So Lord, now I pray for parents, moms and dads, that God, you would just give them the strength they need each day. Lord, I remember what it was like falling into bed and Kelly and I just weeping because we felt like we weren't good parents. Lord, that struggle is so real. And I know that there are families that are, some of our families are just facing amazing, amazing challenges, dealing with things that I can't even begin to truly understand. But thank you, Father, that you do. And that you are here and with us to help us. Give us strength when we need strength, grace when we need grace. Lord, a brokenness when we need brokenness. Because, Lord, our desire is for our children and grandchildren to grow up first to know and to love and to serve you, and then to grow up as responsible adults who will make a difference in this world and for the sake of your kingdom. So, Lord, I just ask this day that you would bless every parent in this room. Give them what they need. And Lord, in the days to come, may they just rejoice as they see the amazing things that their children and grandchildren grow up to do and the people that they grow up to be. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you for this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.